Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much, the gentleman of the band and Sky Nelson. Welcome back to the center. Do you know Sky from singing here? Do you know that? Do you also know that he's a scientist and an author as well? Well, go talk to him after the service. He'll tell you all about it. And the book he just wrote. He gave me $50 before the service. And did you know the stage design is by William Abel, who is our host? Yeah. I got a preview of the stage, so I match. Sure. Okay, let me get serious. Last week I mentioned that I recently returned from the Kingdom of Bhutan with a group of 20 travelers. We went there. It was exquisite. And I brought a photo of Tiger's Nest. That is one of the most important temples in Bhutan. This photo is by Pulak Bangawati. Tiger's Nest is like Mecca is to Muslims, or like the Vatican is to Catholics. It's very important. People make pilgrimages to go there annually. I mean, you've got to make it there at least once in your life if you're a Bhutanese Buddhist. The story is that Guru Rinpoche, the central spiritual figure of Bhutanese Buddhism, in the 8th century, apparently he meditated in a cave up there in the mountains for 3 years, 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days, and 3 hours. And then to commemorate that, in 1692, this temple complex was built around the cave. It's very difficult to get there. The altitude is very, very high, and it's steep and rocky. And it's left like that to make getting there a commitment of sincerity. So it's not made easy at all. It's up and down and up and down. And once you get there, you can't take anything in. No cameras, no backpacks, no sweaters, none. You can go in. So the 20 travelers and I, we went up there, and we had learned in advance to say the prayer that is as sacred to the Bhutanese as the Lord's Prayer is to Christians, or the Shema Israel is to Jews. So we were sitting in one of the alcoves in the temple inside of Tiger's Nest, and we were reciting the prayer, according to tradition, 108 times. And I looked over, and our guide was so touched by our sincerity and respect that we would learn his tradition that tears were just streaming down his face. It turns out that the grandnephew of the guide had recently been installed as the High Lama of Tiger's Nest. Now, I'm guessing that's something similar to a bishop or a cardinal of the whole region. Now, our guide couldn't attend his grandnephew's installation because it turns out that at the time of the installation, he was in the United States, coincidentally sitting right here in our own sanctuary in Santa Rosa. So when we visited Tiger's Nest, our guide took with him the traditional gift for such an occasion. It's a white scarf with a donation from his family. And when the High Lama heard that we were visiting with his uncle, he asked to see us. All of us. So I invited 20 of us, Americans. It was raining on the way up. We were covered in mud. He invited 20 of us into the inner sanctum where nobody goes. Now, in Bhutan, it is customary for ordinary people like you and me to serve monks. Monks don't serve people. We serve monks out of respect for their commitment to the spiritual path. So they don't typically wait on other people. But this time, something very special happened. You see, someone had donated to the five monks living up in Tiger's Nest, they had donated an espresso machine. And so the monks took us into the inner sanctum and made cappuccinos for every single one of us. And not only that, but the High Lama sat me and the other clergy who were on the trip on the High Lama throne, that is the position of the highest possible respect. There were just tears streaming down everybody's face in this exquisite moment. There we were, in Tiger's Nest, in the inner sanctum, sitting on the throne of honor, being served lattes and cappuccinos by monks. And it occurred to me, this is what being welcomed feels like. This is what radical welcome feels like. It's beyond, hello, how are you? Come on in. Pleased to meet you. It's way beyond. Now, I tell you this story because in the year 2020, next year, our theme for the whole year is Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision. You get the play on words. Beyond 2020 spiritual vision. Interestingly enough, 2020 vision is the minimum requirement for certain professions, like being an astronaut or a pilot or a lifeguard or a surgeon and so on. And it's interesting to me because 2020 is by no means the best vision that is possible for the human eye. It's just the minimum requirement. Nevertheless, the term 2020 vision has become equal to perfect vision. It's a great reminder for us. Don't settle for the average. The monks didn't. Be careful of what the societal mind says is the best you can attain or hope for or achieve, especially in the spiritual realm where we want to reach higher, look deeper, see more clearly, and understand what is true so that we don't become hypnotized by the chaos of ordinary. In our own community, we strive here at the center to be welcoming. And we've been thinking about that. We don't want to do ordinary welcoming. So we formed a team of people who are right now studying how to do that because we want to go past 2020 welcoming. We want to go beyond a friendly smile and a greeting to something so genuine that people feel the welcome that I felt from the lamas in Tiger's Nest. Even though we didn't speak the same language, we don't share the same faith tradition, and we may never see each other again. One of the sustaining families of our center, Anne and Kevin Hutchinson, they wrote these words about your center. The center provides a haven for people of any or even no belief system, for people at any stage of spiritual growth. All are welcome at the center. No one is judged. Lives are transformed here. The music and message are always positive and uplifting. The focus is on oneness and God as love. And the teaching reminds us that we can make a difference in the world around us. It's beautiful. And imagine if that was just average for a spiritual community. Where could we go if we had better than 2020 loving kindness to one another? One of the ways we celebrate our oneness and our loving kindness and our compassion is by identifying nonprofit organizations that are doing good work in the world and then aligning with those organizations. We've been doing that since the year 2004. We select 12 nonprofits from the organizations that are nominated by you, members of the community, who are either associated with the nonprofits or have benefited from the work of an organization. And then your giving intention team, which is outside today, they review every single nomination. And then they vet them to make sure that they have a nonprofit tax ID number and to ensure that the nonprofit organization's values are harmonious with the center's values of a healthy, loving world. And then we select 12 from them. Then each month we send all 12 organizations a check. So they have a sustaining support throughout the year. And of course, we get to hear from one organization per month. You can think of it as your generosity, your givingness, going beyond the ordinary. When you give to the center, your gift goes places that you and I can't go by ourselves. For 2020, these are the nonprofits that were selected from your nominations. Zariki is nominated by Lisa Baker. It's a nursery and primary school in Tanzania. It was started by one teacher who was so enthusiastic about starting to teach that she nailed a chalkboard to a tree and started teaching kids in the field. And now their three-room classroom provides education, but more than that, a safe space for children in that area. The second is Verity, nominated by Linda and Dennis O'Rear. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week sexual assault crisis line, and it's staffed by California-certified, trained, compassionate sexual assault victim counselors. Very important. Santa Rosa Junior College's Shone Farm, nominated by Robin Zolotoff. It's a 365-acre outdoor learning laboratory for the Santa Rosa Junior College's Agricultural and Natural Resources Department. Sonoma Bach, nominated by our music director, Christopher Fritchie, an organization that is preserving our shared heritage of early music and making it available for a whole new generation of young musicians and learners. Shoes for Kids, nominated by Lucas Hensley. Their goal is to provide at least one good pair of athletic shoes for every child who wants one, so that they can create equal opportunity among children to run and play freely with confidence and pride and dignity. Seeds of Awareness, nominated by Lauren Darge. This organization addresses suffering with care, noticing that children and families are, well, their suffering is skyrocketing for a number of reasons, with rates of depression increasing, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, attention deficits, and other challenges. So this organization provides mindfulness-based therapy, nature-based programs, and also programs in schools. Positive Images, nominated by Alicia Carroll, a grassroots organization whose mission is to provide support and advocacy and education to Sonoma County's LGBTQIA+ community. They state, "We nurture positive self-image through creating an affirming environment where everyone can explore their identities," and so on. Lily's Legacy Senior Dog Sanctuary, nominated by Ronnie Berg. It's a volunteer-run nonprofit organization based in Petaluma, and the mission is to provide a safe, loving home for large breed senior dogs, you know, 50 pounds plus, 7 years or older, who have been displaced or abandoned for whatever reason, and they can stay at the sanctuary until they are adopted or until they pass on. Knights of Sonoma County, nominated by Jeffrey Sanders, they've been going since 2006, where they started in the garage, just a group of people with the desire to help when they saw a need, and they've been doing that for 11 years now. On their site, they say, oftentimes those who enlist our help are the people who have fallen between the cracks and have not been able to find help from existing agencies. COTS 572, a repeat organization nominated by our Giving Intention team, they have the goal over a three-year period to rehouse 572 families who are displaced or impacted by the North Bay fires. Clean River Alliance, nominated by Cindy Collins, they remove trash from the Russian River watershed, and they educate citizens about the problems of putting trash in our water, and they're trying to create more public cleanup events. And the final one is the AIDS Life Cycle Team. That's your Center for Spiritual Living AIDS Life Cycle Team. They're helping to raise funds to support the work of the San Francisco AIDS Foundation and the Los Angeles LGBTQ Center. And they provide free HIV and AIDS medical care, testing, prevention, and services. And you can meet your team today because, coincidentally, today is their bake sale day, so go and say hello to one of next year's nonprofit organizations. So these are our partners in 2020, and they're from your nominations. And the benefits of the program is that in addition to connecting us, the individual givers of the community, with a larger work in the world, with programs that resonate with our center's values and teaching, it also provides us with ongoing education about the good work that is being done in the world and places where we can fulfill that part of our spirituality called service, because many of these organizations will take volunteers. And so we can think of it also as an extension of our good habit of giving, your loving kindness going beyond the ordinary, doing what you and I can't do ourselves. Developing good habits, by the way, it turns out through research now, is considered to being the key for living a happy life. Good habits more than single good events. You know, like winning the lotto or something like, I'll be happy when I get that job, or I'll be happy when I get that relationship, or I'll be happy when my partner behaves, or I'll be happy when blank happens. A study from Northwestern University shows that while such things as winning the lotto make us happy at first, they don't necessarily last. Lasting happiness, it turns out, has more to do with our sustained habits. The study compared the happiness levels of regular people, like you and me, with the happiness levels of people who had won the lottery. And they discovered that the happiness ratings were the same, practically identical. They called into question what generates happiness and came up with the idea that event-based happiness, winning the lotto, doesn't necessarily last a long time. Happiness earned through habits tends to last a long time. It turns out that super happy people have some habits that we can learn from. I read an article by Travis Bradbury in Quartz Magazine, and he suggests a whole list of 11 habits of happy people that we can mimic. I just want to share four of them with you because I think they're relevant. Number one, they spend money on other people because it makes them much happier than when they spend it on themselves, they discovered. And this is especially true, the article says, of the small things, you know, such as going out of your way to find that rare book that your friend really wanted because you know they will like it. In Bhutan, when I was walking around one of the towns, I noticed in a car there was the seat covers made out of yak wool embroidered with the symbols of Bhutan, and I was oohing and aahing over it, and the guide saw me doing that. Little did I know that late at night, after we had finished all our scheduled events, he traveled to a whole different city to pick up seat covers that a teacher had given him that he didn't know what to do with and brought them all the way back to me. Now I have to buy a new car to fit the seat covers. The second habit of happy people is they have deep conversations because they know that happiness and substance go hand in hand. So they engage with other people on a deeper level because they know that doing so feels good, and it builds emotional connection and embraces complexity, and it's an interesting way to learn, and it solves the problem of isolation. The third is that they help others, because not only does that make them happy, it also makes other people happy. Here's a quote from the article. In a Harvard study, employees who helped others were 10% more likely to be focused at work and 40% more likely to get a promotion. The same study showed that people who consistently provided social support were the most likely to be happy during times of high stress. As long as you make certain that you aren't overcommitting yourself, helping others is sure to have a good influence on your mood and your life. The fourth habit of highly happy people: they do things in person, not over the internet. Because the human brain, I would say the human condition, is wired for in-person interaction. So it turns out happy people will jump at the opportunity to drive across town to see a friend, to meet face to face, because it's medicine for the soul. In other words, they show up just like you are doing right now. It's true, we have great access through technology to the Sunday message and the teaching, our radio programming and our free video, and I love that we make those services available. Still, there is something truly special about being together. This time with you on Sunday, it's precious to me. It's my favorite time of the week. Learning together, traveling through our wins and our losses together, growing together through good times and bad times, and hoping together and dreaming together of a world that works for all. It means the world to me. I love being here with you. It makes me happy. And happiness, difficult to sustain through one-time events, but through habits like being together over 25 years, it pays off. And there's one habit I want to suggest you try if you haven't already done so, and that is to become a sustaining supporter of our center, like Kevin and Anne that we heard from. What does that mean? A sustaining supporter is someone who says a deeper yes to the center, who moves into a closer relationship to the center, who shifts from being a casual supporter to an intentional supporter. And what I mean by that is becoming a supporter whose support doesn't change if attendance changes. You might be in another city, but your support goes on. This is our Giving Intention Month, so it's a good time for you to develop this habit. That it means that we're going to ask you to let us know what you plan to give us in the year 2020. So the first step is to turn in a giving intention form. And if you didn't receive one in the mail, you can pick one up in the social hall. It looks just like this. Now, when you complete this giving intention form and you turn it in on any Sunday in October, you're going to receive our gratitude in the form of, number one, a beautiful Beyond 2020 spiritual vision booklet with 365 affirmative statements to guide you through the year, keeping your vision high, sharp, and clear, and way beyond average. The second is a concert given by one of this year's nonprofit organizations. The Santa Rosa Symphony Youth Orchestra Chamber Players is coming to the center to play especially and only for you who turn in a giving intention form. You can't bring a guest. You can't buy a ticket to this concert. And the good news is that when you turn in your giving intention card and you receive the invitation and come to the event, you'll be able to meet the musicians because there's going to be hors d'oeuvres and they're going to greet us and mill around, and it's such a wonderful idea. Finally, when you've turned in your giving intention form, our team members, our giving intention team members, they take every form, they read them, and they handwrite a thank you card for you saying a deeper yes to the center with the details of your commitment inside so that we can be sure we understood your card correctly. Isn't that fine? Now, some people say, well, I'd like to review what I committed to in 2019. We can help you. Outside in the center of the social hall, our giving intention team has a whole listing of your information. They can look up what your 2019 intention was. And sometimes people ask us, do I need to fill out a new giving intention form for 2020 when all of the information was the same as 2019? The answer is yes, please. Think of it as a ceremony of recommitment to keep it in the forefront of your consciousness. And it also gives us an opportunity to keep up with you and your changing email addresses and phone numbers and information. So I have a special ask of you today and a special thanks. The special ask is please complete your giving intention form today. And if you have never done so, won't you consider your relationship to the center and take a step closer and say a deeper yes and complete one and become a sustaining member of the center? And the special thanks is thank you for giving me the best career I could possibly ever have imagined. Now I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. I would like to let you know that all of our practitioners and all of our trustees and all of our staff and all of our giving intention are sharing the same prayer, holding it in consciousness for our center. So I invite you to breathe in and exhale, letting your eyes close. Join me in knowing that this universe is a system of giving and receiving. Imagine with me that it functions to distribute all good. And that is why it exists and why you and I are here now, part of a system of giving and receiving. Right now, let us join in aligning with the idea that giving and receiving are transactions of love. when it comes to receiving. I abandon any idea of fulfilling needs or having to earn or being worthy or working hard to receive. And instead, I accept that it is ours to open hands, open hearts, open minds to receive. Through this prayer, I'm opening my mind and heart to being a receiver of good for myself, for my community, for our staff, for our trustees, for our practitioner community, for our children. I do this so that I can be as committed to receiving as I am to giving. I let myself imagine a successful intention program for our center because I already know it is certainly achievable in a universe that is infinite and endless. I call upon a successful program and I commit myself to think, feel, see, talk, and know that this success is established in the mind of the divine by means of this prayer. This is my demand on the universe. This clarity of consciousness we share through this prayer draws and attracts all the people, ideas, funds, gifts, service from wherever they are in the world to supply the success of this vision for our center. I understand that the good that this center is drawing comes from everywhere, including beyond the people who attend our services, classes, and events. All we need is being called forth through the consciousness of receiving, established through this treatment, and amplified by our love of serving, our love of giving and connecting. The fact that we agree with this vision of a healthy, loving center, a center of receiving and giving, a center for spiritual living, the fact that we agree with this vision of a center that welcomes all, where lives are changed, this fact creates a mold in consciousness. The power of mind fills that mold. So I remind myself to dream big, to accept graciously, to give freely, and to embody the feeling and attitude of a spiritual being who knows the truth, that when we make a demand on the universe, it is met. I let myself imagine, enjoy, and rejoice in the good that is possible for our center and for its people. I let myself relish in the vision of serving our center and its people, welcoming them, offering the highest quality of service and education I can. I affirm and accept that all the good that our center attracts is used with wisdom, compassion, and integrity. And I remember that all of this comes to pass not through any effort of my own, but by the action of the law of mind, which is why we say together, and so it is. I invite you now to take a deep breath in with me, followed by a sigh, as we make the transition to the part of our service, which is our offering. I invite the ushers to stand while you prepare your gift. And won't you say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift. Welcome back, Skye.